There are so many tokens in crypto these days. How does anyone know what to buy anymore? Just this week, there are more than five new big application tokens launching, not to mention the hundreds of meme coins on Solana and Base. And now we have runes on Bitcoin. What the heck is going on? Well, that's exactly what we do in this roll-up every single week to help you stay in the know with everything happening in crypto. Welcome to Milk Road Radio, the easiest path to get smarter about crypto. I'm Kyle Reedhead, joined today not with Jay, as he's off on vacation for the next 2 weeks with his family, but instead with Tyler D, a man who has his pulse on everything going on in crypto. And together, we believe that on-chain is the next online. This is the opportunity, and we're here to help you capitalize on it.
Crypto will go up more than 100x in both users and value over the next decade. If you're listening to this right now, you're extremely early and have an incredible opportunity to capitalize. At Milk Road, our mission is to make you smarter about crypto. That's why we're doing today's podcast, and why we send you a daily newsletter for free. But if you're ready to level up as an investor, then let me tell you about Milk Road Pro. We crafted this resource for investors who are already smart enough about crypto and are looking for more actionable insights on how to invest successfully in one of the fastest growing industries on earth. Every week, we break down the latest trends, dive into tokenomics of popular and up and coming tokens, and get into the nitty gritty of market analysis, all to help you invest smarter. Plus, we have a private Discord community for pro members. It's like your backstage pass to the Milk Road crew, exclusive insights, hot tips, and live AMAs with our team. Now, if you're looking to level up as an investor, then click the link in the show notes below and sign up to Pro today. Don't let this bull market opportunity slip through your fingers.
Tyler, welcome to Milk Road Radio.
Kyle, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, why don't you give our listeners just a bit of a background of who you are, what you're doing in crypto, how you got here, whatever you can do. Give us the Coles notes.
Sure. I'm at Tyler Did It on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, go look me up. I lead our NFT and crypto content over at Lucky Trader. What do? I primarily write a daily newsletter and run a daily Twitter Spaces show called The Lucky Lead. The newsletter is called The Morning Minute. Keeps me super dialed in to the NFT and crypto space. I also just cover the market on my Twitter feed on a daily basis, kind of 24/7 around the year. I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to the space. I'm also a pretty active trader. I've been trading NFTs since about 2021. Have gotten deeper into the meme coins and runes and ordinals over on Bitcoin here over the last 4 to 6 months. So very excited with all the events we've had play out here this past week. And I'm excited to get into it with you.
It has been a wild, wild week. And we have so much to cover in today's episode. Of course, we'll discuss the market watch as per usual, but we won't waste a ton of time on that because there's just too much news going on. We've had some wildness happen in the restaking space, which we always cover, with the DPEG of Easy ETH from Renzo. So we'll talk about that. Runes is live. We mentioned it last week. And thankfully, Tyler D is all over that space. So he's going to tell us what's going on in that space. SocialFi is also heating up. All the big SocialFi apps happen to be launching their next V2 or their next mainnet, all basically in the same week. So very wild. And I'm not sure if that was planned or what, but there's so much happening there. And then, of course, we'll highlight a bunch of other news in case you missed it and our agree, disagree. It's going to be a killer episode. So, Tyler, ready to get started?
Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, before we do, friends that are listening, don't forget, we're hiring a social media manager at Milk Road. If you love crypto, if you love social media, well, then this is your dream job. Come get crazy with us on Twitter. You literally get to just read what's going on in Twitter every single day and never get off that site, X, maybe TikTok and Instagram too. And then you get to tweet about it like crazy. We're actually going to talk about a wild tweet storm that happened over at, I think it was Polymarket, later on in the show. Hopefully that's not where you're going to take this job, but feel free to get a bit crazy. Anyway, you can apply in the show notes below. And without further ado, let's jump into it and we'll start things off, as we always do, with Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is sitting at $64,461 currently, up 0.3% on the day, so not much on the day, and up 5.25% on the week. It's been a little bit crazier week than those numbers show, but currently sitting at 64,000, so not too bad. The Bitcoin halving finally went live on Friday, as we talked about in the last episode. Interestingly, there was some pretty wild things going on the fee side. Actually, first, let me just show the fees. So we know with the halving, what this means is that the rewards that go to miners gets cut in half, right? The problem with that is that now the miners aren't making as much revenue. And so to secure Bitcoin, we need to make some sort of revenue, and that needs to come in the form of fees. Well, thankfully, since the halving, fees have gone just parabolic on Bitcoin. If you look at the average over the last 7 days, $25.8 million in Bitcoin fees per day on average. For context, Ethereum, which is generally the one that is always winning and winning by a long shot, is just at 4.8 million. So Bitcoin is absolutely dominating. Check this out. When the halving happened, I guess it's a thing where people in the Bitcoin space want to like be a part of that block. It's block 840,000, which is when the halving occurred. And so someone actually paid to get their transaction. It's a 97 cent transaction in on that halving block. They paid $700,000 just to get that transaction through. I guess it's just because it's a timestamp to say, hey, you were here, but absolutely wild. Tyler, would you do that? Or is this you? Was it you?
It wasn't me, but perhaps even wilder news broke right before the show. So the first Satoshi, the first sat in that block, sold for $2.1 million at auction.
Wow.
So this is why folks are going after it. They love the rare sats, and the Adam block was a hot one.
So wild. I mean, it's interesting. There's so much happening on Bitcoin right now, which we're going to cover a lot of. Was not on my bingo card for 2024, I guess this cycle. Just didn't think that Bitcoin would be in the limelight in terms of like degen stuff, but that really is the case. But before we get all to all that, we'll just talk about some of the ETF and flows. It's been a rough week, obviously, or a rough month, I guess, in crypto. The flows for crypto assets is we've had outflows for the last 2 weeks. So it's been a bit of a struggle. So we don't like to see that. The streak that iBit has had, which is BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF, ends in terms of inflows at 71 days. It's not a record. I think there was others that had longer than that. But basically what they've done here is in the first 72 days of a ETF, BlackRock and Fidelity's ETFs have just completely smashed records in terms of net assets coming in. And it's not even close to third, fourth, and et cetera. Well, actually, fourth is another Bitcoin ETF. So is, what is that, seventh? So they went 71 days straight of inflows. We finally had our first outflow. But either way, big run and well done to BlackRock. They are absolutely crushing it. There's a little bit of competition coming in on Grayscale, which, by the way, also holds the record for the streak for the most days straight with outflows in an ETF. Also 71 or 72, whatever it's at now. But they have launched another Bitcoin ETF, a mini one. And this one, the Grayscale's mini Bitcoin ETF, is just a 0.15% fee, which is the cheapest of all Bitcoin ETFs. Originally, Grayscale's current one is like 1.5, so it's extremely expensive. It's why they have all the outflows. And so now they're launching a little competitor to all the other Bitcoin ETFs. So we'll see what happens there. But hopefully we get some demand back on the Bitcoin ETF side of things, because so far it's been a bit slow. What are your thoughts on the whole ETF world?
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest story in Bitcoin, perhaps all of crypto. I think it's the narrative that's driving this cycle right now. I think it was a matter of time until we saw the first day of outflows. I think we saw some folks jittery and nervous. It was kind of bad timing. You saw the price chart this morning. So Bitcoin touched 62,900 this morning. Yeah. It was combined with the GDP news out of the U.S. The U.S. had missed GDP estimates by like 1%. Now, those numbers might be wrong, Janet Yellen said, so they're going to revisit the GDP. Perhaps that's why we've seen this rebound. So we are actively living that it's so over, we're so back cycle with the Bitcoin price here in the last 4 hours. And this, it's an everyday event, it seems like.
It really is. And I'm sure it's all going to come back. But the ETF that we're really talking about now is Ethereum, and we've got some news on that. But first, the price of Ethereum sitting at 3,151, also up exactly 0.3% on the day. Exact same as Bitcoin, up 5.5% on the week. So following the exact same thing as Bitcoin is. We've had some news on the ETH ETF, some bullish, some bearish. So just recently, a couple of days ago, Grayscale filed their S3 or the prospectus, which is basically to convert their ETH fund into their ETF. So that was pretty bullish. People were like, hey, why would they do that if they thought everything was going to get delayed or denied anyway? There was some other delays on Grayscale and Franklin, so some of their other applications. And then BlackRock has refiled with an amendment to their 19B4 ETH ETF application. Doesn't really matter what any of that means, but they have refiled. And so people were like, oh, maybe it is happening. Maybe May 23rd is going to be a thing. And then we woke up this morning and there was news on Twitter that came from Reuters, which is basically saying that the SEC is expected to deny the spot ETH ETFs next month, which, I mean, is kind of expected at this point, although I'm still a bit optimistic, but we'll see what happens. Sounds like it might not happen, and we will be waiting until probably later this year. Have you heard anything else since we have been on recording here, or anything, any other news come out?
No more than that, Kyle. Me, like the polymarket odds have been dipping for a while. I was thinking this was probably going to get pushed. Looks like it is. But it's still going to happen. Just a matter of time.
Yeah. Which honestly, I don't even think it's that bad of a thing. I've heard a few guys talking and like, look, TradFi hasn't even wrapped their head around Bitcoin yet. They're now all doing it. And it's their job to go and look through and do their due diligence and figure this stuff out. If you also then approve ETH right now, it's probably a bit too soon. They're still trying to figure out Bitcoin. So it's like, maybe this is better to happen at the end of the year where they can figure it all out. They can allocate to Bitcoin and then they're ready to like, oh, what's this ETH thing? And they can do their due diligence there. So maybe it's actually a good thing, but let's see what happens. We're still waiting on actual confirmation. We don't know for sure. Outside of ETH, we'll take a look at Solana, which is currently sitting at $148, also up just 30.33% on the day, but up 12.43% on the week. Not much news otherwise in Solana. The chain is working. It's getting better. It's getting fixed as we all want. Transactions are going through. We've talked about that a ton. But other than that, not much more to discuss in the Solana world. We're just waiting until we get out of this dip that we've been in for the last few, month and a half almost at this point. So let's jump into some of the big news, Tyler. Starting off with Renzo. This was a wild little scare for anyone who holds EZETH, which is a liquid restaking token. But let me walk you guys through the story and then Tyler, I'll let you comment on it. So just 2 days ago on the 23rd, Renzo came out and announced, hey, we're going to do our airdrop. It's going to happen on the April 30th. And this is the beginning of their decentralization of the Renzo protocol. They're launching a token called Rez. Anyone that has been holding liquid restaking token, there's a minimum points you have to get. But if you have enough, I think it's 350 points or something, you will be getting an airdrop on April 30th. So congrats to everyone. It was all good, all exciting. Then people started looking through some of the documents and what they were doing here as they broke down their tokenomics. And there was some weird stuff going on. So first of all, people weren't too happy because they only gave, I think it was 5% to the community, which isn't great. But if you look at this chart, for those that are watching on YouTube, I have up on the screen here, this chart looks a little bit odd. At the bottom of this chart, which is right cut through the middle, you would see that that would be 50%, right? It's half of this circle, which goes to, what is this? I guess it says community and fundraising. But it says that should be 50%. It says it's actually 61%. And then if you look at some of the other percents here, like this 2.5 and 2.5%, it looks like that's actually almost a quarter of this entire circle. And so whoever made this pie from Renzo, it looks like they're fudging the numbers a little bit and trying to make it look like they actually gave more to the community than they really did. So a little bit odd. Of course, people went absolutely nuts on Twitter to go off on this. People started making memes, which was this picture that someone put up here with the clown face and just saying 5% goes to the community, and they basically made the whole pie community. Obviously, that's not the case. Levi, he said, Renzo Protocol airdrop is a joke. Their entire business is built on depositors, and they only give customers 5%, half of which is vested. So the real airdrop is only 2.5%. Anyone who sells don't get their tokens when your entire business is dependent on LPs to keep peg. So people started going a little bit off. What's funny is EtherFi, one of their competitors, just tweeted out and said, should have added to our list of why EtherFi is the best option for restaking. Should have added that they have excellent pie chart skills. I thought that was kind of funny. But what wasn't funny is after all this started going off on Twitter, this was kind of early morning on, was it Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever this was, the EZETH liquid restaking token started to depeg and actually got completely crushed for a little bit. And we thought, uh-oh, is this going to be the black swan event of restaking? It went all the way down to 1600. So it was like a 15% drop from what ETH is originally priced at. So I think a lot of people got pretty scared on this one. Thankfully, it is close to back to normal or to its peg now. It's not fully there, but it's close. So it wasn't as big a deal as I think originally people thought it was. Although some people might've got liquidated in some of their DeFi protocols if they were holding this. So obviously not a great thing. We always bring this Duo 9 guy up for some reason in our show. He's a Bitcoin maxi, doesn't really know everything about the Ethereum ecosystem, but he says ETH liquid restaking protocols are a time bomb. EZETH fell to 0.2 ETH on Renzo protocol. Any leverage got people liquidated. Props to Eigenlayer for opening the Pandora box. Ethereum did not need this. One thing I would say is, look, EZETH does hold all of the ETH. This isn't something like Terra Luna where it's just going to like collapse and spin out and go to zero. The ETH is there. It's just a bunch of people wanted to sell at the same time because they were pissed off about the Twitter craziness and the in that pie chart. So this all kind of normalizes, and it's not as bad as what this guy's making it out to be. EtherFi commented and said, look, they're not all made the same. This isn't as bad as you think it is. So a bit of a wild ride. What were your original thoughts on this, Tyler, before I get into the conclusion of it all?
Yeah, I have so many thoughts. I mean, one on the DPEG, I feel like we've got this bull market in front of us, or I think it's going to be a bull market. Why do you need to run the loop and leverage yourself 70% plus, which is effectively what caused the DPEG because there was a mismatch in liquidity pools and the time it takes to redeem the ETH. And we don't need to go into the technical details. But like, to your point, the ETH was there. Like, it shouldn't be a DPEG, but it did DPEG because of folks levering up in this ecosystem. So maybe just pump the brakes a little
that
bit.
That's the problem of crypto.
You have something nice and everyone takes it to the extreme. I mean, I think the restaking Black Swan, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, I think it is fine. I do think this will impact that narrative to a degree. But before we get into that, I just have so many questions about the pie chart. You know, who approved the pie chart? how did that get through QA? And I've got this idea. I think all these teams need to hire like a FUD consultant or have like a FUD person on their team and just put this out there and say, okay, what are the FUD angles? What is wrong with this? What's the crowd going to say? This does not pass the FUD test in any way. The fact that they tried to kind of pull the wool over folks' eyes. And then, I mean, I'm telling you, in this market with so many tokens that you mentioned, you introed, if you make a mistake, if you lose the community sentiment, it's over.
Agreed. It's going to be, that token's coming in just a few days. And I can't imagine a lot of people are going to want to hold on to that after this craziness. The pie chart, I tend to be very optimistic and forgiving. And so I wonder, was it like, did they mean to do this? Was it just, I don't know, maybe the 2.5% doesn't fit if it's too small? Like, I don't know. But did they really think that people in the community weren't going to recognize this? It's funny though, like people in crypto are very particular and they pay attention. And so you make a little mistake and they will absolutely roast you. And did they ever on Twitter? And as a result, Renzo actually tweeted out last night and they said, we hear you. No shit. The Renzo team acknowledges feedback and the importance of our community who has made Renzo the leading restaking protocol. Based on your feedback, they've done three things. They have moved the claim timeline to put it before the launchpad of Binance because you could get access to these tokens ahead of the airdrop, which was kind of weird. They've changed the tokenomics just a little bit. So they've increased the amount that goes to the community from 5% up to 7%. So we got an extra 2%. And then I think they changed the minimum qualification to get the airdrop eligibility and they moved it to 360 EZ points per wallet. I think maybe it was higher than that before. I think my biggest takeaway and what JPEG, 0xJPEG says, it goes, hilarious to me that we as a collective can just bully protocols and dApps into changing their tokenomics. This isn't the first time this has happened. Every time that a protocol comes out and it's like, they didn't give enough to the community just goes nuts on Twitter and they have to come out with like this apology tweet and like give more money. And this is like, this isn't a little bit of money. That 2% is going to be millions and millions of dollars. So it is wild that we can force that through basically just on Twitter. I kind of love to see it, but I also feel bad for teams that are doing this. They're put in such a tough position. I mean, I guess we deserve it. If you put in a lot of liquidity, you risk your assets, especially with this one where there was you could have got liquidated. So like the money is deserved. You got to do what's right to the community. That's the lesson that should be learned here, I think.
I'm all for, listening to the community and community feedback. I do think when you like bend the knee, like they do in this situation, it's also like admitting wrongdoing. To a degree, like, hey, like we should have done this. It's almost like a negotiation on a deal. It's like, oh, here's our first offer. Here's our counter. You guys didn't like it. Here's our counter. And honestly, like, I think they should just stick to their guns. Like, I mean, honestly, like they already lost the community sentiment. Folks who are perhaps on the fence about holding or selling, they're going to sell now. Keep the extra 2% for yourself. I don't know.
Well, they didn't even like mention the pie chart. They're like, we hear you, we see your feedback, and here's three things we're going to address, and then just didn't mention anything about the pie chart. So we're still on a mystery of this pie chart. It's going to now become a meme. Someone's going to make an NFT and make a bunch off it. Just that's my guess. But wildness and restaking, I am still a big fan of restaking. I think it's going to be a big narrative. And so I continue to, especially, I mean, you can earn so much in restaking right now with all these points programs. So, but obviously be careful, and hopefully the restaking programs and protocols don't rug you anymore and don't do things like that, because obviously that is not good. Let's move on to the other big narrative that's happening that just went live last Friday, and that is runes over on top of Bitcoin. This is fungible tokens on Bitcoin, a new token standard. We already explained sort of how it works last week. Now it's actually live. We can see what's going on in this space. Tyler, I'm going to throw it over to you. You've actually used runes. You've played around with it. I think you've bought a few already. Walk me through your initial thoughts. We're almost a week in now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so the big question going into the runes launch, boom or bust? Is it going to deliver on the hype? Because the hype got pretty dang high there ahead of the launch.
Yeah.
I think that the broad market reaction and sentiment was bust, and that it did not deliver on the hype. I'm going to take the opposite side, and we can get into it. I think just the numbers alone on this board are enough for me to say that this is not a bust. So if we look at some of the market caps of these runes, that number two on the list, the ZZZ Fihu, it touched 3 billion. So like this protocol has been live for 6 days, and there's already a $3 billion token. And there's a lot to unpack there. The dev kept 99% of the tokens back, so it's a little bit manipulated. But okay. We see that dog token up top, that was just airdropped yesterday. It opened up above 300 million in market cap. The RSIC Genesis rune in third was another pre-runes airdrop. It opened at 200 plus million. So we've got 3 runes tokens on the board that are already 9-figure market caps. And to me, I don't think you can call that a bust. There is some serious money in this ecosystem. Why do people think it was a bust? Well, here's the reasons why. People equate runes to meme coins on Bitcoin. These aren't good memes. They're just tickers. There was low effort. There weren't any funny memes. There weren't really any memes at all. Literally just tickers. Like no one even came out with like artwork or like running jokes or anything. So it felt low effort and perhaps rushed. So I think it under-delivered on the meme side. I think that was an aspect of it. The fees were so high those first few days that runes were minted. That's how you acquire the tokens at the beginning. Because of the fees, like the Satoshi Nakamoto token, which is one of the most popular on Friday and into Saturday, it effectively minted at a $30 million market cap. When you see the meme coins on Solana, that the reasons you have these crazy screenshots, the guys who make millions of dollars because they were early, they're buying at like a 10K, 20K market cap. That opportunity did not exist on Bitcoin because of the fee environment. So that led to less splashy screenshots, really no screenshots. I haven't even seen someone really touting their runes profits just yet. So we're going to have to wait.
Money on fees. Very interesting. Tyler, what did you buy? Did you buy anything in runes and did you get it early or how's that worked for you?
So there was a couple schools of thought. So there were the folks who were deep in the trenches and like running their own nodes and they were ready to mint live Friday night. I decided I'm more of a momentum trader. I'm never going to be the first person to enter a trade. I like to kind of wait and see what catches attention and perhaps be an early joiner. So that was my strategy. I didn't mint anything on Friday night. I woke up Saturday morning, going through my timeline, Satoshi Nakamoto was the clear winner. It was all over my feed. So yeah. I did jump in a bit on Satoshi Saturday morning. The buying experience, very similar to BRC20. So really not a whole lot of improvement there, and we'll touch on that in a bit. I did get an airdrop of the RSIC Genesis rune as well.
Nice.
I have not gone through the sell process, still holding those tokens, but I think another reason why people called it a bust so we can go here is because the infrastructure still leaves a bit to be desired.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, same thing has happened with Ordinals and BRC20 as well. Like it's just not as, I mean, it's funny. The UX isn't that great on Ethereum or Solana Ether, but in fact, it's much worse over on Bitcoin. Help our listeners understand who haven't used it yet. Help them understand kind of how this works and what that sort of infrastructure, what the UX is like.
The UX is very similar to buying NFTs. So what you are doing, it opened up very similar to the BRC20 buying experience because Unisat was the first marketplace. What that means is you're buying literal bundles of tokens. So you don't really have the option to buy, one token, 15 based on how much money you have. You have to choose these pouches of tokens effectively. So it might be 200, it might be 100,000 based on kind of the unit bias of the token. So right there, it is a much different experience than those who are buying meme coins on Solana for $2. Like whatever they lowered their Phantom wallet with, they're buying the meme coins with it. That's not the case with BRC20s or runes. So I think that led to the clunkiness. But of course, those who wanted to be early, don't care about that. They're going to fight through it. Is it going to have appeal to the masses or broader markets outside of the already Bitcoin native crowd? No.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's why folks are calling it a bust. But I think that is a problem that can be solved. I think Magic Eden, is already making a play themselves. So they ran a hacker house. I think CNBC actually did a feature on this hacker house that they put together. They are the first marketplace of our traditional NFT marketplaces to launch a runes collection. It's sliding scale. It's a little bit better. It's 5 to 10% better. It's still a clunky experience. And I think where we're going with that, I think you had that chart up. What we're looking at now is the ordinals volume. So ordinals, NFTs on Bitcoin. A lot of analogies to how ordinals played out to how people think runes is going to play out. And ordinals came out last year, February. They caught initial hype, a lull, and they saw a brief surge period before a 5 to 6 month winter before they really started to get traction here, December 2023 and now into 2024. I think many are now expecting a similar scenario to play out with runes. So we're going to have this bubble of interest. It's clearly here right now. It's going to play out for a little bit. There are some tokens who are going to win. I think the wild card is if we see any central exchanges like Binance list some of these tokens, which they already did hint at on their Twitter page a few days ago. If they list, if the experience is better and there's some additional liquidity come, I think we'll see a first cycle. But the reality is we are probably going to cool off for a bit while this infrastructure gets built out until the trading experience does become better. And once it does, I mean, I think the demand will be there just because of the core principle of all this. There have never been assets that you could trade on Bitcoin before a year ago to accumulate more Bitcoin. And people are interested in that. And
there's no doubt there's a ton of degens in the space. Doesn't matter if you're a Bitcoiner, if you're an Ethereum person, Solana, we're all degens. So there's definitely an appetite for this kind of stuff. That's for sure. Let me ask you, in this winter here that you said, the 6 months for ordinals, where just basically there was nothing, not a lot of sellers, not a lot of buyers. It went pretty dead for a bit and then took off. Was this at the result of infrastructure improving by a lot, or was it just some good projects started launching and all of a sudden everyone came back, or was it just the market started heating up again? Because it looks like it's started off in November, which is when markets kind of heated up last quarter as well.
Yeah, I think a couple of factors. The market's heating up to a degree, and then better projects, right? There weren't a whole lot of good ordinals to start buying, collecting a whole lot of teams getting behind them. Could see similar in the rune space, right? People are underwhelmed at the tokens that launched. If great tokens come out, you know, people are going to fight through a bad experience if they're good enough.
Right.
But they typically come.
But not much yet. I mean, yeah, if we go back to that screen, there's no images for any of these tokens, which is a little bit odd. They don't even have like a profile picture or like you have it for most other tokens. There's just nothing. It is literally just a ticker. So a little bit odd, but Bitcoiners love it, I'm sure. Like you said, does this make it out into the mainstream and stuff? I don't think so. I don't think this is like the NFT mania we had last cycle, which made it into sort of internet culture and more even broader than that. I just don't think that that's the case here yet, but we'll see. But let's jump over to ordinals because things aren't done over there too. So we've got runes, which are the fungible tokens now that exist on Bitcoin, although they've already kind of had fungible tokens with BRC20. It's a weird ecosystem going on in the Bitcoin world. And then of course, they also have NFTs in the form of ordinals. And that's starting to, there's some changes going on in that market too. Walk me through your thoughts on the ordinals market right now.
So ordinals had a tremendous Q1, right? Like they really came onto the scene. I'd say they flipped Ethereum NFTs, Solana NFTs in interest. And then they started flipping them in volume. We saw collections like Node Monkeys run as high as like 0.8 Bitcoin. They have since retraced a bit. And there was this big looming question of, okay, what would the runes launch mean for ordinals? Would it be a liquidity extraction event while everyone's focused on trading runes? Or would it be perhaps the opposite, where runes injects all this capital and it rotates back into ordinals? So far, neither of those scenarios have really played out. I think perhaps because runes have been a little bit of a dud and not a whole lot of new liquidity has come to the ecosystem. But a reason why we've seen some of the leading ordinals did dip into the runes launch, and that dip has continued. And now that this new narrative, this risk overhang to the ordinals scene is this Merlin unlock. So Merlin is a protocol where you could stake Bitcoin. You could also stake NFTs. And a lot of people took advantage of this to a massive degree. So if we look at this screenshot, 1,100 Node Monkeys are staked in Merlin. If we just go through like Bitcoin Puppets, one of the other big collections, 395, not quite as bad. Bitcoin Frogs has 1,500 of these, so on and so forth. Why does it matter? Well, the unlocks are happening like today, tomorrow. and people are nervous, as they are for every unlock. It's the same story for every, you know, major token that has an unlock tied to a game, tied to a protocol. Folks think that it's going to be an unlock and they're going to come and dump on the market. They might be right, because there are some analysts who went through and calculated the average buying price. So because of the time these have been staked, like the NodeMonkey stake, the average entry price is like 0.06, and NodeMonkeys are trading at 0.36 right now. So the average person who staked is up nicely on these. The flip side of this is there's also a good chunk of Bitcoin in liquid capital that's also on staking here with on Merlin. So that could be a liquidity injection. So to me, it feels like that classic, it's an unlock coming. Is it going to be a bearish unlock and we're going to dump? Is it going to be a bullish unlock? I've seen enough of these where I typically lean bullish unlock because everyone just gets so scared and jittery ahead of time. But, you know, we'll see probably in the next couple of days how this plays out.
The runes in the ordinals world is a wild world. Before we jump over to SocialFi, any quick advice for anyone listening that wants to get into that space?
The biggest trend playing out in ordinals right now is what we're calling the big four. There's four PFP projects which are leading the pack, and there's pretty big separation from the rest. So it's NodeMonkeys at 0.36 Bitcoin. It's Bitcoin Puppets at 0.34. OMB, Ordinal MaxiBiz, at 0.41. And then we scroll down a little bit, Quantum Cats, which are also trading right around the 0.4. So they're all trading within this 10% range. They constantly have been flipping each other back and forth, which gives talking heads like myself show topics on a daily basis. So, oh, no monkeys flip puppets again, or puppets are flipping node monkeys. But the big trend is clear. These four have separated from the rest. People are starting to trade them like an index. And there's kind of this sentiment right now, of course, not financial advice, but if you're going to play, it's safer to bet on one of these four, or to even, instead of buying four node monkeys, to spread across. And I've seen a lot of folks starting to do that. The most interesting thing to me about the Ordinals ecosystem, compare and contrast with Ethereum, is just the lack of dilution. There just aren't that many quality projects to choose from. So it does make it easier to come in and select some. You have this big tier, the big four now trading at, you know, $20,000 USD. There's not really much else. There's not really much in the mid tier. There's not really much in the low end. So I think that's the other most interesting part of this sector of the market to watch for me, is what is going to pop up and perhaps make it run, because there is room for one to come on, but we don't know what that is yet.
Interesting stuff. Well, there it is. Thanks, Tyler, so much for some insights in the Rune and Ordinals world. I don't play around much on those, so it was great to get some perspective from someone who actually is. Let's jump over to SocialFi. It's really heating up right now. There's a lot. We have Fantasy Top, which I believe is over on Blast. We have Frentech, which is on Base. And then we have Stars Arena, which I think is AVAX, if I remember correctly. So we're a little bit all over the chains here. Let's start with Fantasy Top, because they each have launched their own things, well, or are launching this week. So there's going to be a lot of wildness over in the SocialFi world. We'll start with Fantasy Top. What is going on with Fantasy Top?
Fantasy Top is the craziest story, perhaps playing out in broader crypto right now. Definitely the craziest thing happening in SocialFi. So as of today, Fantasy Top is set to launch their mainnet. I think it may have just launched. It may be launching here in the next hour. They did delay it. They got $70 million in deposits in the last 2 to 3 days. I had nearly 23,000 depositors. I'll be honest, I didn't think there was 23,000 wallets really participating in Black. So why is this happening? So last Friday, kind of buried in the Runes launch hype, Pac-Man and the Blast team, they launched the newest Blast Gold allocations, and they heavily rewarded SocialFi. So Thruster, their DEX is number one. I think it's been number one on their list the whole time, getting the most Blast Gold. Tied for second, District One, which is a SocialFi app, and Fantasy Top, and they received 700,000 Blast Gold. Why does that matter? Blast Gold, the analysts are saying, is worth about $18 per gold right now. So you can do the math. That's like $12 million that just got allocated in rewards for the Fantasy Top app. So they capitalized on that Blast Gold allocation. They announced their mainnet, and they announced this first set of competitions, which are going live on Monday with a 222,000 Blast Gold reward pool, which is about $4 million. So pretty massive rewards, a lot at stake. If folks don't know what Fantasy Top is, basically it is a social trading card game where your favorite crypto and NFT influencers are digital cards, similar to NBA Top Shot, but for influencers. And you're going to be able to buy packs of them. You're going to be able to trade the influencers around. And then you score points based on their engagements on X. So it is a very Twitter-focused and social-fi game, but it's going to be
hilarious. We've talked about it a little bit. So it's interesting, though, that I don't know if Fantasy Top is launching a token, but they're obviously incentivizing through the Blast token that is coming. I think that token's coming soon. Do you know if that is, I can't remember if it was coming like the end of this month or maybe it's in May, the Blast token. Do you have any idea of when that's coming?
Yeah, we're expecting it in May.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing folks call for 20 billion FTV on this out of the gate.
It's going to be a big one, I think. Very impressive. All right, let's jump over to Stars Arena. They have just launched their V2, which interestingly, Frentech, probably their main competition, is also just launching their V2. What the heck does all these V2s mean? Do we have any idea what they are? And is there anything we need to know here?
I think what's interesting about Stars Arena, so they launched their new UI, UX. It is very similar to Twitter. So it is, or X, it's a Twitter clone with a bit of a financial aspect. So you'll have your wallet, you'll have your ticket, your tickets that you have, what's trending, things like that. I think what's also interesting about the Stars Arena launch is the roadmap that accompanied it. They do have a very lofty vision. They want to open up the logins to Reddit and TikTok. They want to build like an intra-app marketplace where you could trade digital assets. They want you to be able to mint NFTs. So kind of in some ways kind of going that Farcaster or Warpcast route, trying to build more type of economic activity into the app. So, you know, right. We'll see if it takes off. There's only like 1.3 million in TVL right now. And they also they did not launch the token with this, which was the wild card. So more details are expected soon. We'll see what comes out of that.
And we know tokens is where the action happens, which Frentech is launching their token Friend very soon. They have tweeted out and said, audits are complete. Launch day is locked in. Let's do this. So people are kind of speculating on what's going to happen here. Any thoughts on this Frentech V2? And by the way, I believe it's happening on Monday. I'm not sure if the token is also happening on Monday, but I know it's coming in the next few days, they've said. Anything you know more about the V2 launch?
Kyle, this is my SocialFi Super Bowl. So I was a FinTech grinder. I was deep in it back in Q3, Q4 of last year. I played it all the way up and then all the way down. And I think it's so hard to project what's going to happen with this token because we just know so little about what V2 is going to be. I think there's a lot of speculation that you're going to be able to trade friends like tokens. So one of the biggest complaints was the barred entry of folks like Kobe or Ansem, their room would get up to like 4 ETH. Not many folks have the bankroll to buy that key. There's speculation that you will be able to get a much cheaper entry to that. So that's going to be interesting. I think similarly, folks are expecting more of that type of economic activity to be able to happen within the app. So we don't know how it's going to play out. We don't even know for sure if a token is launching Monday, but I will say if a token does not, there's going to be a lot of disappointed folks out there. So I think a token's coming.
Yeah.
The question is what would be bullied.
Yeah. At this point they've been bullied and they're going to have to launch it. Although they actually have a pretty edgy Twitter as well, which again, we're going to talk about another one in a second, but they've got a pretty edgy Twitter, which is actually pretty funny. And so I could see them trying to fight with the community because they don't seem to care what's going on over on Twitter, but man, things are heating up on SocialFi. I know it's a lot, like you can't go. I mean, you could go and use them all if you want, but it is tons with Farcaster. There's Lens, there's Frentech, there's Stars Arena, there's Fantasy Top. And honestly, the list goes on. But the good thing is there's a lot of competition here. Obviously, social is a big thing that we do on the internet. Humans are just social beings. And so when you can add the financialization to social, it creates things that I think are going to be really cool and really fun. Frentech was a lot of fun when it first launched. Obviously, prices went so high. Like you said, you couldn't get into a lot of the big rooms. So it was a weird model. I assume they're going to come in with something new that's going to allow for it to have more scale. That was their biggest problem that I always pointed out was you couldn't really scale the Frentech model. But we'll see what they do with V2. It's going to be quite interesting to watch over the next week or so as this goes live. But as we said, Friend is probably coming. There are so many tokens that are launching over the next week. There's going to be billions of dollars literally printed into the crypto ecosystem in the next 7 days. We've got Mode, which is a layer 2. Their points program ends in a couple days. Not sure if the token will also launch right after, but it's coming very soon behind that. We have Rez, we just mentioned, which is Renzo's token. We'll see what happens there with all the FUD around that. Camino just tweeted out yesterday and they said that they've already done their snapshot. But they said April is all they said. But usually when you just do a one word tweet, it probably means that's referring to the token. And so that's coming. Friend, we think, is coming. We don't know. Blast is coming soon. There was the Safe token that was just launched. Anyone who's used Safe, they have had a token for forever, but you couldn't do anything with it. They finally, the community voted, and now they put some liquidity behind it and made it tradable. And so now you can actually use it. You can sell it. You can buy it. You can do whatever you want. It is like available on Uniswap and stuff. So that's a big one. It came out over 2 billion FTV as well. And by the way, Mode is probably going to be over a billion. Renzo, I don't know, but if we look at EtherFi, over a billion. Camino's got to be around a billion, if not more. Friend is one I actually have no idea. Blast, as you just said, is going to be massive. So like, we were talking billions of dollars of capital coming into this ecosystem very, very soon. Another one, we had this on our Solana airdrop guide, which is Drift Protocol. There's just so many. So one, I hope many of you guys listening are going to get some of these. But two, Tyler, what do you think happens? Do people just take all this capital, sell it, and throw it into runes? Or like, where does this capital go? Because obviously it's a big injection coming over the next week or so.
I love free money as much as the next person. There's so many tokens. You love to see it. I'm a little worried about who the buyers of all these tokens are going to be and what that's going to mean for the price action. As for where it's going to go, I think the rotations around the ecosystem is logical to me. I think that's how we've seen it play out with Solana. The Solana tokens come, the traders get it. They cash in the Sol or meme coins. So I think that's where I would place my chips on the other ecosystems like Base. Is the fintech money going to stay in Base or go elsewhere? I think that's a huge wild card. I don't know that there's quite as much going on in Base as there is on Solana. There's plenty, but I don't know where that money is going to go. And as for Blast, the Blast money is going to stay on Blast because Pac-Man is the master of Ponzinomics, and he's going to have the next round of incentives. And if anything, I mean, they might see their TVL increase in folks, you know, buying the token. So.
Completely agree. And I mean, if you look at a lot of these protocols, as soon as they launch a token, they add another season. I mean, Camino already has a second season that's going, even though they've done the snapshot for the first. So the money may stay. They may add more like reasons to hold that token and, you know, keep it in the ecosystem. But regardless, it also just depends on where markets are in general. Obviously, right now we're in a bit of a dip and it continues to dip. But if markets start to shoot up again, you bet people are taking that money and throwing it into meme coins. We already saw like yesterday, it looked like, okay, maybe we were going to get out of this dip and things were going to go up again. And what took off right away? Meme coins. Now, obviously, this morning we woke up, things got wrecked once again. So meme coins, I haven't looked, but I assume they are wrecked again. But you can tell that whenever the market changes and we're going back up to all-time highs again, meme coins are going to just go absolutely off. A lot of people are calling for it to be over. And that was sort of like the big cycle of meme coins. I don't think so. I think a lot of this capital is going to go into that. The way I play my airdrops is I typically sell right off the start, especially right now because there's so many. And then if it's a good protocol, maybe I'll buy back in, but I'm not like pressured to do it. I'm not trying to rush that. If not, I just sell it into either ETH or Sol, and I'm more than happy to do that. I can hold those and ride those through the cycle. So that's fine with me. Yeah, it's going to be a wild couple of weeks though. Let's jump over to in case you missed it. So a bunch of things that are going on in the crypto space. We just finished our top stories. So now we'll talk about some wild stuff that's been going on. And we got to start with Polymarket because this was absolutely nuts. If you haven't watched this play out, it was like this wild story that I feel like is probably going to turn into a movie if it's actually true. That's the thing is I don't really know how much of it is true. But it happened within like 24 hours over on Twitter. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the intern, the social media intern over at Polymarket, they tweeted out and they said, say it at Phantom, and they tagged Phantom. And basically there is a Polymarket is a predictions market. And there was some predictions on there saying, will Phantom post, and in quotations, Retardio in April? Okay. And they posted out. That was it. And then all of a sudden, Phantom tweeted out and put an R, and then Polymarket put an E, and then Phantom a T, and then Polymarket an A, and they spelt out Retardo together. And basically just been going off on this whole Retardio word on Twitter. And someone tweeted out and just goes, the Phantom intern needs to get a fat raise. Well, anyway, this started to get wind on Twitter. And all of a sudden, Polymarket comes out and says, regarding the recent Retardio incident. And they put out basically an apology to the community for this word and that the fact that someone said this, but they said the word like multiple times in this. So this is where I'm like, was this real or did they do this to play it up? I'm not really sure. But basically where this resulted was they removed the tweet. I just luckily had a screenshot of it. So that's what I just showed. They fired the intern and they're doing an internal review with the rest of the team to make sure, you know, that they're going to have better policies around their social media, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it turns out the Polymarket intern, who is named Hugo, again, don't know for sure if this is even real, but he tweets out and just says, laugh my ass off, shit. And he says, retardio once again. And it's showing that he's been kicked out of the Polymarket Twitter account and they've changed the password on him. So he no longer has access. Then all of a sudden he tweets out, and a bunch of people, I guess, who saw this felt bad for him for getting fired. They found his wallet address, however, and they sent him $313,000 to his wallet in Solana. Like, what is going on? So, of course, he tweets out. He's thankful, says retardio once again. This guy just doesn't stop. And then he tweets out and he goes, wait, I'm back in the lion's den. Let's see what she has to say. And he's going into the HR. Supposedly, he got his job back because this went so mainstream on Twitter. And not only got his job back, got like tons of offers from other social media, other crypto companies to run their social media. And so anyway, it wraps up with this bold guy here who tweets out and he says, day in the life of the Polymarket intern, 9 a.m. type retardio from company account, 12 a.m. get fired, 3 p.m. get sent $314,000 for saying it, 5 p.m. gets job back plus 100 job offers. What a wild 24 hours. Do you think that this was actually real, or did they like play this up so people were talking about Polymarket?
I think it's staged. The Susan Warren, what was my tip off? It just seems like too much of a stage name, but I mean, my right. head is off. This was an incredible social media performance. Their intern went totally viral, mega viral. I didn't see the money he got sent. That's crazy. I'm curious what he's going to do with that.
Yeah, right.
But man, they tip of the cap to Polymarket.
Yeah, the Twitter world is absolutely wild, and particular in the crypto space. Yeah, was this a good thing? Was this a bad thing? Honestly, I have no idea, but obviously it got a lot of attention. I mean, if you look at some of the views of these tweets, it's in the millions. Like, it just got, this really went viral. So hats off, whether it was real or not, I'm not quite sure, but pretty funny. In case you missed it, back on this with more news. If you didn't see, RFK Jr. did a presentation, and basically in it, what he said was that he would put, if he becomes president, he will put the entire U.S. budget on blockchain if he's elected in 2024, basically saying that the U.S. budget has not been good. They spent a lot of money. They're in a massive deficit, and it's time that we make this transparent. We can actually see what's going on here, and he would put it all on blockchain, which would be absolutely wild. Do you think he actually does it?
I don't think he's going to have the chance, sadly. nor do I think, I don't think he'd be able to pull it off either. Absolutely. I love the idea.
Right. One day I think it will get there, but yeah, not going to happen now. Here's some other news. Celo, which is was a layer one, is moving to a layer two. They've announced that for a while, but they have just chosen that they're going to do this with Optimism. So they are joining the OP stack. We talked about the OP stack last week. They're becoming a beast. They've gotten getting everyone, WorldChain. They've got Base. They've got Mode, who we just talked about. Now they have Celo or Celo, whatever it's called. So they've got them as well. So congrats to the OP stack. They are crushing it. In not so great news, Binance, or CZ, the founder of Binance, is facing 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to violating money laundering laws. So not so great. CZ, kind of a legend in the space. I feel bad for the guy. He's done a lot for crypto. As much as he's going through a lot of regulatory issues, he has done a shit ton for crypto. And so I feel bad. 3 years is not great. And off the backs of that, the SEC of the Philippines has ordered Apple and Google to remove Binance from their app stores, which is actually quite a pain because there are a lot of people in the Philippines that play a lot of the play-to-earn games. And so they have gotten very familiar with crypto. And so it was a huge adoption, especially last cycle, in bringing a lot of Filipinos into crypto, which is huge for them, right? Like, this is what allows them to move money, move stable coins in other, obviously, crypto in and out of their country or throughout their country. So it's been a huge help. And Binance is the one exchange that they all use. And now it has to get removed. So not great news. Tough for the Philippines. I feel bad. But Binance continues to have their struggles with regulators all around the world. All right. Well, that's it for the In Case You Miss It news. Let's go to our favorite part of the show, which is agree, disagree. Tyler, I'm going to read out these for you. And you can decide if you agree, disagree, and you can explain why you do or why you do not. We'll start with Jason Choi, which is, if last crypto cycle was the Lord of the Rings trilogy, this cycle is the Hobbit trilogy. Smaller in scale, more cash grabby, 1/10 the novelty with less mainstream awareness, and none of last time's main characters around. What do you think?
I disagree with the smaller in scale. I think this is the biggest one. Like, we are on the main stage. This is the cycle. the Bitcoin ETFs are putting us, you know, right there. The institutions are coming. Real world assets are coming. This is the time it crypto goes mainstream. So disagree with Jason, although I do agree with the rest of it about the less novelty and the main characters, which is funny.
Agree with that. I also think, and I completely agree actually on the smaller scale thing. It is small right now in the sense of like how numbers and things went last cycle from now. But I think what people miss is we're still very early in the cycle, at least in my opinion. And so I think this isn't going to be smaller on scale. I think it's actually going to be as big, if not bigger. I don't know. Is it more cash grabby? Last cycle was pretty cash grabby with NFTs. I don't know if I can say it's more. I mean, the meme coins, I get it. There's been a bit of wildness, but there was so much wildness last cycle. So it's hard to say that it's more cash grabby this time around. But I think we get this in every cycle, to be completely fair. All right, next up, Karush, who's a big trader in crypto. He says the crypto space is a spectrum. On one end, you're a gambler. On the other end, you're trapped in paralysis by analysis. To find your happy medium, study one good source and stick to the plan. Start small, wait for the snowball.
Yeah, I agree. You have to be very careful where you get your signal from. And you can't go too wide or you're just going to be drowned with information. And you kind of have to turn things off and be okay with it and trust your gut and look for your spots.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I don't know about one good source. I feel like you kind of want to diversify your sources. But if you do too many, especially if it's people covering all these different spaces, I mean, look at what we just covered today. SocialFi, runes, ordinals, restaking. Like, it is next level. And to stay on top of it all, you just can't. And so the best advice is don't. Now, don't go into everything blind because, like he said, you're a gambler. But definitely don't try to cover everything because it's just, you can't do it. It's near impossible unless you've got a team with you, I guess. So start small, dive into something, and it'll grow from there as you start to learn more. Duo 9, we have this guy on every single time. The agree, disagree. I always disagree with what he has to say. That's the Bitcoin maxi in this guy, I guess. But here's what he said today. Bitcoin just transitioned to the hardest money on the planet, referring to the Bitcoin halving. Now we're at under 1% inflation rate. Bitcoin is now better than gold. There's nothing left to stop what is coming after this halving. Hyper Bitcoinization is here.
Kyle, I agree with them. Maybe I'm becoming a laser eye. I think the only thing that can stop Bitcoin is the US government, I think, at this point. And I think the next generation is going to adopt Bitcoin as gold. And I do think we'll see it flip it in our lifetimes.
Interesting. I agree that, of course, it is the inflation rate is now lower than gold. I think I don't even know that the US government could stop Bitcoin, to be honest, at this point. But I just don't think hyper Bitcoinization is here yet. That's when just like everything goes on the Bitcoin standard. And I think that's going to take a lot of time. And I'm not even sure that that actually happens, to be honest. I think there's a big place for Bitcoin as a store of value and people will use it and hold it without a doubt. But does hyper Bitcoinization actually happen like the way the Bitcoin maxis say? I don't know. I think stablecoins will get adoption much faster than in terms of the amount of people using it. And I think that will happen much faster than I think Bitcoin will make its way into like the whole world. Not to take anything away from Bitcoin. It's a very important asset. And I obviously hold a bunch of it. So like, I'm a big fan. I just, hyper Bitcoinization, I don't know if that's happening anytime soon. All right, next one. This is Martin. Prior to the last few months, most people I know in crypto have zero Bitcoin exposure. The ROI just isn't appealing enough. But with the rise of BRC20s, ordinals, runes, etc., there's now strong beta plays that reignite that interest and desire to speculate in the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Hard agree. I think with the bridging and the ability to navigate across chains, like that experience is easier than it's ever been with apps like Simple Swap. I think one of the coolest outcomes is folks who were just Solana native or just ETH native are trying out Bitcoin for the first time and getting their first taste of it and starting to accumulate it. So I think that is absolutely great. And of course, the BRC20s, the ordinals, runes are absolutely driving that forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm excited for the L2 ecosystem to really make its way to, you know, to be live and actually like usable, because I think if we can get the Bitcoin L2 ecosystem running and get a lot of these token standards over there, it's going to be a much better UX. Like you said, the fees for runes the last week have just been nuts. And so like you get people using it, but you're not going to get mainstream using it. That's for sure. If we can work out this L2 ecosystem, then absolutely. But this was a thing that was not on my bingo card for this cycle, was that everyone would be trading meme coins on Bitcoin, which is hilarious to me. And I love it. The things that you never, because for those that weren't around last cycle, like whenever things get crazy in the Ethereum or Solana worlds, the Bitcoiners, they hate this, right? They hate the JPEGs, they hate the meme coins. And now all of that exists over on Bitcoin. And I think it's just so funny. You could not have predicted that last cycle. So that's what happens in crypto, though. The thing that you just don't think is going to happen, it almost always certainly happens. And it's currently happening. And so kudos to Bitcoin. I absolutely love to see it. And it's helping with their sustainability of their security because they need some fees over there, as we touched on at the beginning of the show. All right. As our last agree, disagree, I really like this one from KW, which or QW. Simultaneously believe that crypto is three things: our last line of defense against big government, financial repression, and tech monopolies. Two, the best asset class for the intellectually honest and flexible to build generational wealth. And three, a place to have fun with internet friends by risking a little money in JPEGs, meme coins, and liquidation engines.
Definitely agree. And that's why I show up every day. I love the core concepts and principles. It's also fun. I love showing up and having fun with my friends on a daily basis while we do this. And I think the other aspect that isn't mentioned here, but I'll add on, is it feels like a level playing field. It feels like a more level playing field than the traditional finance system, which is another factor that drew me to crypto in the first place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the key thing for people is to understand that these three things do exist. People come in and they get caught in one, and they're like, oh, you know, maybe it's just the fun thing. Like, I don't see the point in this thing long-term. It's just a bunch of meme coins. You're like, no. Look further. There is, you know, the intellectually honest building amazing technology. And then there is another layer of like, yo, this stuff is actually really needed because there are big problems in this world and we need to fix our money. And this does that, right? So there are different layers and you need to be able to see through all of those rather than just thinking it's just one or the, like, it's just one of them. It is many of them. And I think that is the most exciting thing about this space. Well, that's a wrap. Tyler, thank you so much for joining here and filling in for Jay on the Milk Road Radio Roll-Up. This was a blast, and it was really good to get some more insight on various different aspects in the space. How was your first time hosting the Milk Road Radio Roll-Up?
Kyle, I loved it. I love the flow of the show, your different segments. Man, I hope I have the chance to come back someday. This was a great conversation.
Absolutely. We'll definitely have to get you back. For listeners who want to learn more from you, and trust me, if you guys want to learn about runes, we get it all the time in our Discord, people asking, where's the alpha on runes? Where's the alpha on ordinals? And I'm like, guys, I don't know, to be honest, I'm sorry. But I'm sure people are going to want that from you. Where's the best place that people can learn from you?
Yeah, best place is to find me on Twitter. I'm at Tyler_did_it. Tyler did it. From there, you can find my newsletter link. You'll be able to find my daily Twitter show on there as well. Come join us, listen in, see if you like the alpha, and stick around if you want.
Awesome. Well, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was an absolute blast. Jay will not be here next week as well, so we have another co-host, but I won't tell you guys who that is just yet. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this, and we will see you next week. And by the way, we will put the links to Tyler's Twitter in the show notes below. And if you want to get hired to run our social media for Milk Road, please apply. The link is also in the show notes below. Guys, we'll see you next week in the Roll-Up. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Milk Road Radio, the easiest path to get smarter about crypto. If you like this episode, share it and hit subscribe or follow so you don't miss out on the next one. There's also a link in the description to our free 5-minute daily newsletter where we simplify crypto for you while making you laugh. And if you're willing to step up your crypto investing game, then we'll leave a link to Milk Road Pro as well, your number one resource to help you invest successfully in crypto. One final note, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto is risky, so you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and we'll see you in the next one.